You really called out.
Can you?
It's
are we live?
English.
Yeah, we're
hey,
live.
Well, God, Kelly's big there in the camera. Welcome to the Westmith Variety Show, episode number 40.
Wow.
Dang, that's a lot of episodes,
wow.
Dude.
Wow.
40 is a lot of anything, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's
a lot. A lot like, of talking.
What have you guys done 40 times?
Sorry.
Right?
Something to definitely really think about, you know.
I mean, there's people, you know, I don't know, they've not even had sex 40 times.
Yeah, you know, gone to the bathroom at least 40 times.
I guess it'd be sad.
Yeah,
at least, if it's, at least if it's not with yourself, at least.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. That's even more sad.
Magnet order of 10.
I've definitely gone to the bathroom at least 40 times.
Sweet.
At least.
Welcome all seven people from around the world. Way to start off today's show. We are getting things going cheeky here in the new year. Let's see. Today's special guests. The one and only world-renowned real estate broker, cryptocurrency expert, oh, and DJ, producer, computer programmer extraordinaire, Payam.
Huh.
How do you say your last name?
Musavinia.
Payam Musavinia.
Thank you for that extravagantly accurate. In some places, intro. I'll take everything else that you said as a compliment, but I'll leave that up to the viewers to decide what of those things is true and what of those things is false.
Wow. Well, considering 90% of what's been said on the last 39 episodes is completely false. That you're going to be a rock star.
Excellent.
And we just met.
Yes, absolutely.
And once again,
Duckman.
Duckman.
Yes.
Huh. You bring along Duckman with
I
you.
I do.
Yep.
I do.
All right.
What we got?
Let me close this door just so that if I have that now I can get freaky in here.
Doors closed, everybody.
Whew.
This is it.
Got 10 degrees hotter. And Kelly, Agent 137, Ross, transmitting, broadcasting, and just being awesome from a boat in New York.
Hi.
What's going on, Kelly?
Not much.
By the way, so for anybody listening to this now or in the future, most of the listening happens in the future.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I don't think anyone in their right mind at 4 or 4:30 is like, oh, let me go tune in and watch these fools. although you'd be surprised, and Kelly moderates them. So what was I going to say? So 40th episode. Kelly, let's just kind of, you know, kick it off with first impressions of Breakfast of Champions from Kelly Ross.
Oh,
it's her highlight section. She gets to start off the, I guess, the second episode of the year.
All right. All right. So I just played a show called Breakfast of Champions in San Francisco, put on by the Space Cowboys. And my first impressions of it is I thought it was a really good time. It goes from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. And Wes was asking if I tapped out or if I made it through. And I made it to like 5:30. So...
You cried uncle, basically.
I cried uncle. I wanted to get food. My feet hurt. You know, like, you know, I'm old. What can I say?
Now, I'm going to tell you, I don't know about Duckman, sorry, about your history of partying. And I probably really don't even know that much of Payam's, but I do know where I met Payam.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you that in most circles, a 6 a.m. party is kind of a unique or big deal thing. But in the circles that I know Payam through, there's a lot of parties that have odd hours.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of limits on the end of our parties.
Typically,
the party will end once people stop doing things.
And since the ones that are in the desert
we'll
go for 3 days,
yeah,
it's not like, you know, it's not like it starts at 9 and goes to 3 or even 4 a.m. It's like it starts at 9 on Thursday,
mm-hmm.
maybe a.m.,
mm-hmm.
and goes until about noon on Monday.
That's what the sound guys get there on time.
That's right. But at least the 3 or 4 I've been to, I can say that when the sound guy got there, from the time it came on, I don't think it went off until Monday or whenever it was done.
Pretty much.
Like, it might have a 1 hour intermission, I think, mm-hmm. because they couldn't figure out how to connect iPod or something
yeah.
to play the the one robo DJ set because there's just nobody capable of switching two songs on USB sticks.
Yeah, those are necessary sometimes. You know, you gotta have DJ iPod make an appearance every so often. You know, there's very very little times that DJ iPod can fail you. So it's good to have them.
So let's see what we're gonna do today. So all of our loyal listeners have realized that we have completely slid off the rails the last five episodes. Just short of running out of any good ideas to do or talk about. And we can't play video games because our friend Eric Rigsby, he has a show called Select Start, right?
Correct, yep.
You did that when you were there. You went to Oakland and did that with him.
Yep, and so we on Sunday.
Digital games, which is, you know, I hear big among the millennials, the two that I know. And so we have to play board games so that we're not directly copying Mr. Rigsby.
That's a great idea. I think he's
shout out Mr. Rigsby.
So, probably giggling right now.
But if it occurred to you why we have this, I must add, nice chessboard sitting here.
Well, that's very small.
Yeah, I found it incredibly complicated to play chess and talk. last week, like, there was some, I don't want to say dull or dry moments. It was quite engaging for DJ Ideal and I, but I'm sure it was a bummer for anyone. And there were about 20 people listening. I'm sure it was excruciatingly painful for them because we would have moments of like, we would have like 4 minutes of silence concentrating, and we totally forgot that we were live streaming.
So we should put it on SoundCloud then, yeah? So that would be. Actually, that was one of the really hard things about doing Select Start is I don't play video games, but he picked Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. So, I mean, I've played Donkey Kong before. And, you know, he's interviewing you, and you have to play video games at the same time. And it's not even just you have to play video games. Like, I have to figure out how to jump and roll, you know, like the really basic stuff that I don't normally do that everyone knows how to do when they play video games. So he does a lot of editing. I talked to him and he said he does like between 30 and 40 hours of editing. Don't get any ideas. That's a lot of,
oh no,
that's a lot of hours. But
no editing.
Yeah. So
a couple ground rules. Yeah. Go ahead. Finish with your Select Start thing.
No. It's because it was, I think we played for like 2 hours, maybe 2.5 hours. And he said, it'll get down to like maybe a half an hour. But it was
an actual posted show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he puts in videos and stuff like that and pictures. And I played his event Fault Line on the 30th. And he wanted to get footage from that and Breakfast of Champions and so forth and put it all together into one. So.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I admire him and all podcasters who take the time to dig through whatever happened in their life that week and put it into whatever video editing application they may have and come out with the 30-minute version of that week.
Oh, yeah.
I can't do it. I can't do it. Yeah, let's talk about 2 years of doing this podcast, and I'll share a few things with you guys as we go into this sort of momentous or whatever the word is, third year. Number one, top question, usually off camera, is why did they start doing this? Right? Because most people think it's a DJ mix show and that we're going to come over and like mix live and that's going to be cool like that. And it's not.
Yeah. Excellent.
That's the first debunking. Number two is the reason I started doing it was because it literally was because I met people as I traveled around the world, mostly DJing or otherwise, but sometimes otherwise. It could be some other kind of trip, but I'd say 85-90% was people I met through DJing, music festival, whatever. And then like I would meet them and then never see them again. And I was like, well, that's kind of weird. Like maybe we should catch up sometime and talk a little more when we're not at a festival or a nightclub when it's noisy, right? So that was really, and Kelly, I think, wasn't that the original reason? I was like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That. Yeah. And then the ground rules were because we're not lazy, but we were like, we don't have time to spend either getting ready for or doing anything afterward, really. So it was like, the goal was like, we looked for technology where we could do that, right? Like because we get the biggest criticisms we get are, dude, you guys have to get podcasting mics. Dude, you have to get near field this. Dude, you have to get recording equipment. Dude, you need a mixing board. It would really make the sound better. And we're like, no. Because if you were here for episode one, you would understand that we were very clear that the point of this was to do the best we possibly can with not only minimal technology, but free technology.
Yeah.
So the whole thing for all 40 episodes, this may be a record, has been done completely, not just free by the participants, but, you know, that's easy to get done most likely. But, like, just Google Hangouts, record it. We bounce the audio just so everybody knows what goes on, all the magic that goes on for now 39 episodes. It gets recorded live to YouTube. That's what we're doing right now. And then when that's done, it's posted to YouTube automatically. We download it. Kelly is awesome at this now. She can do it in her sleep. She rips the audio, you know, from the video file. We post that to SoundCloud. It goes out through podcast. We put it – where else do we put it, Kelly?
It goes on iTunes, I believe, and
yeah, that's through the podcast, and then we push it around a couple of places. But the reason I'm telling all this is because it's very interesting to me. We first started this, I don't think even we listened to the show at all, and now it's got, like, collectively with all those things, you know, probably 300 listens it gets, Kelly, would you say?
Yeah, it depends.
Podcast, YouTube, yeah, it's like 60, 70, 80 each
some
place.
Some of them have 5,000.
That means
it's that means that you've got people that are avid listeners of your show that are entertained by it for some reason.
What do you think, given what we've done so far today, what do you think would possibly engage somebody to listen past the first 9.5 minutes?
You know, I honestly haven't listened to any of your past episodes, so I can't make a valid statement on that. So I won't respond to that question.
Do you think the past 39 guests have been responsible for all the listens? Perhaps of their individual shows?
Maybe they came in here thinking it was one thing, and then started going into it and realizing what it was. And they were just like, shit, what do I do with this?
Like, for example, it was in their podcast feed and it got it on autopilot and they get through, like, you know, they get through the EDM producer show that plays, and then maybe the, you know, Daily Crypto podcast plays, and then probably something from Anderson Cooper or one of those dudes, Bill O'Reilly, one of those news sources, maybe an Onion episode. And then this starts playing. And maybe they don't even notice that it's changed. Right? It's just right. Like, oh, okay, like my neighbors are talking. The podcast must have stopped.
Yeah.
And they can hear, like, the upstairs neighbor, right? And then after, like, a half an hour, they realize, wait a minute, like, some fool keeps talking about, I don't know, San Diego or whatever. Like, what's going on? I'm in Russia. Yeah.
What is this? What is the meaning of this?
Probably about like that. Well, everybody comfortable? You got your drinks? You ready for the sporting events?
Absolutely.
It's gonna get hectic.
Yeah.
We have assembled. Duckman actually had to come today because we weren't totally sure we would be able to handle putting together the Connect Four game.
Oh yeah.
So
it didn't work.
Payam brought his in-house expert to help us do this.
Hey, he's the electronics guru over here.
Yeah, before we get into this pure example of electronics, let's give our listeners a little bit of, you know, I don't know, insight into the world of Payam. How long have you been DJing, man? When did you get into it?
Oh, man, that's hard to, like, pinpoint, but, like, I've seriously took DJing as a hobby, I'd say about 3 years, 3 or 4 years ago.
I would have thought longer.
Yeah.
Huh.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been a fan of electronic music since, like, high school.
Okay.
Like, growing up listening to trance, you know, listening to downloaded tracks that you find on, like, WinMX or Soulseek or Napster.
Yeah.
Like, Ian Vandal, Paul Van Dyke, like, all the trance legends that were around in the mid and late 90s.
And so, are you familiar with Dave Seaman?
That's a name that I am familiar with,
okay.
And to a certain extent.
Okay.
But I know his name, not his music.
It's just on the, I actually don't know his music either. Yeah. But he was the reason it's always fresh in my mind now is because the last time I was at Electric Love Festival in Canada, that is in the summertime, he played there, and like a few of us knew who he was. More than just us knew who he was, but a few of us that were DJs that were together knew who he was. And so we just, I don't know why, you know how certain things get stuck in your head when you go somewhere with a group of friends?
Yeah.
And our whole entire quest was like finding Dave Seaman. Because we were there for 3 days. And we finally found him and heard him play. And we were all just like, oh. It was really awesome.
Dude, you know those types of moments? You're chasing the dragon, you find the dragon, you catch the dragon.
We did.
That's great. That's a good story, you know?
Trance music. That would be, I think, maybe a very popular, still relevant person in that, I think, is like Armin van Buuren. Like,
yes,
he would be
absolutely.
Probably the biggest, maybe.
Yeah,
still?
Oakenfold, probably still too. ATB.
Yeah,
like a lot of the acts that are just so recognizable. Like you can listen, you hear that song "Ecstasy" by ATB.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
super anthem, trance anthem, like stuff like that.
BT would have been early trance, right?
Yeah,
BT,
yeah.
And he's still out there,
killing
it, doing his live thing. Yeah, I mostly know him nowadays, I guess, for some of the software that he's kind of developed or co-developed or branded over the years.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he's got some good plugins and stuff. I met him once like a gazillion years ago in person. Really? But other than that, I just know he's got his feet in a lot. He's like a super tech dude. I don't know if you follow people on Twitter?
Time.
Can you really follow anyone on Twitter?
I mean, I have a Twitter account. And
that's
like,
the biggest fucking misnomer of a word. Yeah. Follow someone on Twitter. How do you do that?
Just click follow.
Yes, dude. I don't know, man. I follow like what's in your Twitter feed, man? Like, good example.
You don't want to know. I follow like Nihilist Arby's.
What is that?
Okay, Nihilist Arby's is a great example of a fake account posing as a real account, in which the persona is this really bleak and sometimes just dark.
Person
that represents Arby's, something like the new year 2018, soon you will be dead, eat Arby's, like something
dude,
like
Nihilist Arby's has 640 tweets.
Oh yeah, they're huge. Arby's actually
334,000 followers.
Oh yeah,
I'm following.
You should. It's
done.
It's hilarious.
It's done. That's all it takes, folks, to follow on Twitter. You did that. Actually, this is why I'm going to do this. The next 40 episodes will be inspired by me getting at least one new person to follow on
Twitter. There you go. So yeah,
so
they
Twitterverse
actually recognized that account and saw how desperately sad they were, so they sent the guy a puppy.
Wow.
That's
cool.
They sent the guy the puppy and they were like, you know what, man, you're right. Our menu does suck. We're gonna change things up.
That's
so this guy,
but it's total onion spoof.
Yeah,
right?
Like, satire completely. So this guy by posing as this dark nihilist, like evil, not necessarily evil, but just dark nihilist person on Twitter representing Arby's, ended up getting Arby's to change themselves. So stuff like that happens because of social media, which I think is great.
Well, I'm going to trade you one of mine. So I the last, let's say, 4 months, I've been like probably most of the rest of the world, pretty interested in a lot of this cryptocurrency stuff, right? So it's interesting. There's this dude. So it's full of – I'm just fascinated by like you have to listen to the prior 39 episodes. You'll hear things I'm fascinated with that this show is the time I talk about them. So, yes, go dig through them all, please. We'll get 11 more listens collectively. For people trying to figure out what we're fascinated with. But, so this guy, Warren Buffett.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he's, wait a minute, of course.
Oh, whoa.
Wait a minute.
Warren Buffett.
Wait a minute. His display name is Warren Buffett, and he uses Warren Buffett's picture. His fucking Twitter handle is Oracle of ETH. It's clearly not Warren Buffett. But
oh, he's going around giving people shit crypto advice. Oh my god.
He's Warren Buffett. And he gives shit crypto advice.
That's
great.
He
will tweet and be like, pumping a coin, and he'll put it. And it works. He's got 20,000 followers.
Wow.
I mean, he gets engagement. It's not like, I mean, it's I've only been like messing around in that arena. I've been in the tech arena for a very long time, you know, but in particularly in this crypto space with the currencies, this coin thing, like the last 4 months, right? So I'm totally new to it. But like the people in the community, whether new or old or whatever, seem to love this guy. He gets 1,000 likes on a tweet. That's a lot of fucking likes.
That is.
On a tweet.
Yeah.
Right? Like that's more than, I mean, some of the music people I follow. Right. You know, let's just take a couple examples.
Yeah.
Sure. I mean, since we brought up Armin van Buuren.
Yeah,
let's go look and see what Armin van Buuren's doing on Twitter.
This is a long tangent as to how I got into DJing.
He's got Bear with me. So Armin, we're just comparing Warren Buffett and Armin van Buuren.
Hey, they're
in
the same echelon. I would put Armin and Warren, you know, right next to each other.
I don't want to influence what you feel about trance with this, what I'm about to say, but I want to give a demonstration of craziness in EDM,
okay,
trance,
yeah,
we'll call it, you know, is in there somewhere,
right,
and the cryptocurrency space.
Okay,
Armin van Buuren clocks in at 1.7 million followers.
Right,
his last tweet has 356 hearts likes.
Wow,
wait a second.
Okay, this fake Warren Buffett guy.
Warren Buffett, only 20,000 followers.
Yeah.
987 likes
on his last tweet.
Yeah,
wow.
So it's the engagement, right?
Yeah.
So what that tells you all, folks, is that if you're in the music business, you have to have what's 1.7 million divided by 20,000? That's like 50, 70, 80.
It's a lot.
It's 80, right? Can you do Duckman? Are you good at math?
I am. 20,000 goes into 100,000
five times.
No, five.
20,000 to a million would be 50 times.
20,000. Yeah. There you go. That 50.
So it's about 70.
Yeah, about 70.
75.
Yeah, yeah.
It's about 80 times.
Yeah, yeah.
So fake Warren Buffett, 80th.
85 times.
Of Armin van Buuren's followers, and he's got three times as many likes. So arguably, he's 240 times more engaging than Armin van Buuren.
Wow. See? And that's why I'm not into trance anymore.
It's wild. And roundabout, that's what I was getting to. So please continue with your DJing.
That was the start. That was the jump off.
Kelly, what?
Bring it back. You can do it.
Like, bring it back. We've gone from 7 to 3 listeners.
Excellent. Yeah, and so, you know, that's really the starting point of like my journey into electronic music, and over the past like 3 or 4 years, just sort of seeing my friends do their thing and sort of taking it really seriously and learning from people like Messenger, you know, Brian
legendary. Inside and outside of music.
Yeah, exactly. Great dude all around. Excellent human being. Incredible guy. So, you know, I would go over to his house from time to time, jam on his Serato controller with a friend of mine, Anthony. You know Anthony as well.
Yeah.
So, sure enough, like, just sort of gaining my traction in Serato and just, like, feeling out the mechanics of the jogs and Pioneer controller that he had. It's all the different crazy stuff that goes into that particular software.
Yeah.
And then eventually learning some Traktor.
Do you still use? Oh, you're giving me the progression.
I mostly play off of a Traktor controller as of late, but
Do you get heat for that at the big clubs?
big clubs. I don't.
When you bring the controller to the big venues, do they give you heat
really,
for that?
No, not really. Okay. No, I mean, I want to be comfortable in any medium possible.
So, yeah.
I mean, like when we played at Pueblo, I was on your CJs,
yeah.
And you know, those are some things that I need to obviously get a little bit more of a handle on, but I feel like the fundamental understanding of mixing A and B is there. I just have to fucking practice more is basically what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't want to have to ever be like, I need this to play All right. True. Doing, true. You know, fuck that. Like,
you know, Armin uses four CDJs.
Yeah.
Well, at once.
That's boss.
Armin can afford them. He can afford them.
Well, I've never seen him do it. I've never seen him do it except for in the documentary about his success. That's the best way I could phrase that documentary.
He has a master class now too.
He does. That's right.
Good for him.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm pretty up. Within the last 6 to 9 months, I'm pretty up on Armin van Buuren's.
It sounds like it.
I shouldn't say his major accomplishments, but you know, when you see a documentary on Netflix or something, I mean, I'm under the assumption that the artist involved is happy with what that portrays. Yeah. So given what is available to me on platforms that 400 million other people also have access to, I'm going with that.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I have no underground knowledge or insight to anything about the guy.
Yeah.
Duckman, do you DJ?
I do.
Sweet, man.
I've been DJing since about 2001 in Pennsylvania. Yes, tech support all the time.
You thought you were gonna have to hook up the Serato.
I have to hook up the craziest things no matter where we're at.
Do you want to run out and get the Serato vinyl? Do you need to hook them up?
The scratch?
Oh, the scratch. Dude, Serato, whatever.
Scratch. That's so much fun.
Yeah, it is fun.
It's so much fun.
What do you guys play?
Callie, what'd you say?
What do you play? What type of music?
Well, I have a couple different identities. Like whenever I do live PA, I try to do as much as I can that's different than everybody else. I don't have an OctaTrack.
What do you do under that alias?
See, I'm not good on that. I just do that as Duckman, and then my DJ sets are also Duckman. So I've got to kind of come up with a solution for that. someone's going to come up with the wrong show.
You could definitely have like maybe Duck without the C. And then Duckman with the C.
With two C's.
Well, there's a different pronunciation, so we can do Duckman and then Duckman.
Duckman.
Yes. Yeah. And you would have a never-ending supply of people to explain that to.
Yes.
Yeah.
As Duckman, the DJ, I used to do a lot of juke and footwork and stuff like that. Now I'm trying to find as much weird French electro.
I like French electro. Funny you said that word.
I do too. A lot of stuff from like Alpage Records right now. A group called U Man. Okay. Really like amazing.
First time I heard some was at Burning Man. That someone called it that.
Oh yeah.
I'm sure I'd heard it before, but totally. That's the first time that
that you were able to identify the sound. Well,
I was like,
genre.
I was in the area for quite some time and was like, what is this?
This is
French electro. I was like, of course.
That makes. Perfect sense.
What was the group that you said?
U-Man. All in capitals. Y-O-U-M-A-N.
U-Man.
Okay. U-Man. Yeah. Ended up finding them on Bandcamp, and the record company offered everything in the discography for a couple bucks. I think it was like $12. So I ended up getting into that, and that just put me down a hole. Just listening to so much stuff that I would never found.
I don't think I can find them on Twitter. Do you know?
I don't know.
They're on Twitter?
I don't know. I just found them on Bandcamp, and they have a sketchy little page, and that's it.
By the way, I've had a Twitter account since. It probably tells me how long I've had one. I'm sure if I go look, it reminds me of how fucking old I am. But, you know, because you go sign up for this stuff, and you're like, I don't get it. And then, like, 9 years later, you come back, and it's either gone the way of Friendster, or it's, like, Twitter, and it's, like, people use it.
Like you with Snapchat.
I burned through that in about 3 months, when 2015, I think. Yep. 2015 was the year of Snapchat for me.
Oh, man.
But that was, like, from sign-up to infatuation to fizzle.
Yeah,
like, three months, boom. It was a lot of work, dude.
It's a lot of work.
Snapchat's a lot of work.
It's fun. It's fun. Every so often, you know, you go back into it and it's like, you have some fun. Right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I didn't delete the account.
Yeah.
I'm old now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like most of my crypto portfolio. Yeah, I didn't sell them. I didn't sell them. Just hold.
Hodl.
I'm just keeping those babies till they're completely worth zero.
Yeah. It's all a conspiracy.
100%.
It's just math.
100%. What I was going to say about Twitter, though, and Kelly, I was going to ask you, is Kelly knows that I've never really been, I can't say not a fan of Twitter, but I just haven't really been super into it. But in the last like few months, I've grown to appreciate it more. You guys like it. You're a casual user. Are you a Twitter user?
I only get on it whenever something happens, like that SpaceX launch and the sky lit up. I was immediately went on Twitter, like, okay, what's that? And the only other thing I saw was Tony Hawk going, hey, what's that?
That's kind of all I would do. Like, I would be like, when something happened, yeah, Twitter is usually the quickest indicator of, like, what the fuck's going on. Right?
Yeah, it's quick.
Yeah, and so I've found that if you actually, like Kelly actually sort of not indirectly got me to do this. She didn't know I was doing it, but one day Kelly was like posting about how she went and cleaned up all of her social media feeds and things, primarily like Facebook and page and shit like that.
Yep.
And she was doing much more. And I didn't want to put that much effort into the Facebook one. So I just kind of went over to the Twitter one and was like, I'll clean this up and I'll save searches of things that I'm interested in and whatever, you know, looked around here, typed in words, found stuff, saved the searches. And I found it to be pleasing.
It's so pleasing, isn't it?
It could be because there's some control of the length there, clearly. 140 characters?
Mm-hmm. I think it's 280 now.
Yeah, they just
280 now.
They just doubled down. They went. They're like, you know what? There's a lot more to be explained.
They've been talking to those Bitcoin Cash people. They doubled their block size. Damn. It's all a conspiracy, man. You know it. They want to decentralize, but it's all centralized.
Where can we find you guys on social media?
Oh yeah, sorry. She's bringing it back to home here.
Well, I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter.
As what?
On Instagram, I'm on as Pie Slice. One word.
Look
like a slice of pie.
Mm-hmm.
But Pie Slice.
That freaked me out. Like the first few times you liked something, like four people will like a photo, so it's not hard for me to know like everyone that liked it. You know. Yeah, and I kept seeing Pie Slice, like, maybe three times within the year.
Oh, yeah.
But I had a decent memory. And I was like, okay, that's a repeat. Yeah.
Who is this person? Why are they following
you?
Me?
Actually click through. What are you on Twitter?
On Twitter, I'm Piemography, because I thought it was being really edgy at the time and you know, avant-garde by adding a study to my name. So I
will say you're one of the wittiest people that I follow on social media.
Ooh, compliments.
Go follow this guy. He's got, I'm telling you, you wanna
look.
If you wanna break from your scroll, that will, let's say, more times than not make you kind of be like my thing is I'll scroll till I find something that really makes me laugh and then I stop.
Yeah.
Because I am looking for a complete satisfaction in my social media scroll.
That'd be me.
Nice slice. Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's kind of what I incorporate into a lot of things I do in life.
Get a lot of food on here.
An example of that would be the duo that Rashad and I have called Buffoonery.
Mm-hmm.
So we mostly play breaks, some future house, some tech house, some booty.
Nice.
Good. Fun, like jamming, not too serious.
Different than what Duckman does.
Buffoonery. It's, you know, it's a little bit inspired by Duckman.
Inspired by
Duckman. And basically our whole Shaft Records family. You know, so.
I've seen the Duckman thing. That's you too?
Yeah.
Yeah. Duckman and Karate
now
Explosion.
Now it clicks.
So I mean we like to play music that has like sort of a really fun, feel good vibe.
I would agree with that.
And it's buffoonery. We don't take ourselves seriously. Once we start we actually had a period of time when we first started and I was taking it way too seriously and Rashad was like, fuck off, dude. Like we're not doing this.
Because you learned from the messaging.
He's like, there's no way. He's like, it stops being fun when you take it seriously. And it took a minute for me to like really understand and chew that and like digest it. So I was like, but I want to be good.
Yeah.
And then eventually I like just scaled back a little and I realized that's the entire fucking point of it. If you're just kind of
having fun.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Remember this, kids.
Yeah.
When you hear this, when you find this archived somewhere 20 years from now, have fun.
It's incredible the kind of things you can achieve, kids, when you're having fun.
That's right.
The more you know, Even your website.
The more you know.
Even your website. I was on the website earlier today. And what is it? www.shaft.com, right?
Records.
Shaft Records is the official website people should know about, right?
Yeah, even the website is funny. So I the more fun you have, the better.
Yeah, well, just the name Shaft Records. Please tell, how did that come about?
Yeah, don't go to shaft.com. That's probably a different thing. Go to
Shaft. Yeah. Kids don't Google Shaft Space.
Sorry about that. Space video.
You're going to get some different results.
I'll let Duckman field that question there. I want the more seasoned veteran of Shaft Records to be.
Okay. Let's do it.
This is only the second episode. I know this isn't, exactly walking on the moon for you guys, but it's only the second episode where we've had a full monitor up here.
Oh, wow.
And then we can do things like I can do that, and you guys can see it and confirm that it's your business or a porn site or whatever.
Yeah. Well, they could be both.
Shaft Records. It could be.
It happened a long time ago. We threw a bunch of parties as Shaft LLC and a bunch of other names. We threw Electric Poncho was the most infamous one where people either loved us or hated us. So we dissolved a couple times, and the name Shaft originated way back when as a super happy, awesome, fun time crew. So that was us.
And then super happy, awesome, fun time crew.
Yeah, so that was the Shaft crew.
We're following you now.
Yeah. And then eventually it got really confusing with all the dots with SEO and computers and stuff. So we had
the fucking internet has really screwed up a lot of stuff.
Goddamn internet. When's it going to go away?
Now you have to get shaft.io.
Yeah, now we're just Shaft. So
yeah. That's all right. Well, that's cool.
No,
we started the whole deal to get some people who didn't necessarily have a genre or didn't necessarily have an outlet. We're really good producers, but like not necessarily a breaks producer or a house producer. And there's these ones that just fall in the cracks between. So
yes.
I saw a lot of that, and I was a victim of that because I'm a weirdo.
It's kind
of
good. Yeah. Falling in the cracks is fun stuff.
Right.
Yeah,
So I started catching a bunch of people who I saw falling through the cracks, and then we started coming together.
How many releases do you guys have at this point?
Oh, geez, I should know that, right? I'd say there is 16 or 17. Nice. I'm holding one right now because we're waiting on 30-minute cassettes. Because they insisted on 30-minute cassettes, not 60, but
yeah.
So I have to wait for those to come from Ohio before we can do that release. But it's done.
Sweet.
It's mastered, and I did a tape master, which is weird.
Yeah, that's weird.
It's weird. Like to go all digital, and you're like 24-bit, 96K, and everything's beautiful.
Yes.
And then you put it on tape, and then you listen to it, and you go, oh, no. And you do it again.
True. True. Yeah. All right. Well, so you could find Shaft Records was on Instagram.
Yeah.
And right after I liked you, this photo of Marjorie Toledo popped up in my feed. Do either of y'all know her?
I don't.
It's suggesting her to me now after liking Shaft Records.
She's
a looking gal.
Yeah.
She seems like she's from San Diego. She checked
well,
in at Balboa
Park.
Yeah, there you go.
So somehow these algorithms are great, aren't they?
Yeah.
Like as soon as you start liking more whatever, more of that pops up in your feed.
It's incredible.
It's really
like,
cool.
It's like they know.
They do.
That's how it works. It's
now,
they do.
A funny thing, I don't know if y'all experienced this, but a funny thing I have started to realize if I interact more with social media versus just having a page where I post, music or whatever. But if I actually, as a human, click more, like more of these things, you get different algorithms finding you, right? But one thing I started to realize being in San Diego is that my feeds now start to get lots of things from like Tijuana and Baja, Mexico, which is kind of funky because there's not too many other places in the US where, because of your geolocation, you're going to start getting shit from another country.
Totally.
Right?
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. So I get, they're like, it'll be like things in Spanish. I'm like, dude, what? I don't speak Spanish.
It's great because there's totally a freaking scene now.
A whole world.
Yeah, it's great.
It's cool.
Yeah. There's great clubs down there to
Where other than, so you mentioned Electric Poncho, which I think is dead now.
Yeah, we had to kill that beast.
Yeah.
It got
out. Yeah. I went once, which was awesome. I got to do that. Yeah. I went to a couple shit shows. I was glad I got to do that.
Yeah.
The messenger was responsible for that.
Good.
My God.
Bless his heart.
He's the first guy, right? That guy. Two stories about messenger. Do you know his social media stuff? How to find him?
Yeah.
What is it?
Brian Despot.
Just Brian Despot.
He's not killing it on it.
I know. But that's why I want to know. Go find anybody listening now or in the future forever. Go find Brian Despot.
Yeah.
On social media, also AKA The Messenger.
Yeah.
San Diego, California, and blow him up. Say hello for us.
Yeah.
Tell me. He needs to be a guest on the variety show.
Yeah,
it's coming.
He's dad life and it's super hard. He had a kid about a year.
About a year.
So
that'll keep you busy, dude.
Oh, totally, man, totally. But he still finds time to come out and play. Like he played that show.
Yeah,
I think he played Shit Show. He played some other stuff in between.
Yeah.
So
I think I saw him at Utopia once.
Yeah.
In between the, dad days.
He muscled his way into our non-stage time because we were supposed to turn our stage off at 2:30, and I wasn't ever going to do that.
Okay, of course.
I told them I was going to do that, and the moment that Brian found out I had the stage, he's just like, "So when do I go on?" I'm like, 2:30, buddy. Just close it out. This is how you turn off the power amp when you're done.
Well, so obviously, and you've been obviously Electric Poncho. You were at those.
Yeah. Those were my bread.
Fun. What else in Mexico? I went. Oh, I was gonna tell you, dude, my brain today. Back to the messenger real quick. So, first desert party I ever went to, vis-a-vis Skandar and Brian Millar, who neither of them happened to show up. At least not when I got there. Brian's the guy out in the desert after the GPS is no longer functional. We find, out in the Mojave and show up. And I'd never met Brian. So I was just told that he was going to, I don't know what you call it, your sponsor, your friend, whatever, at the party, right?
Because
you don't know anybody, yeah.
Your spirit guy.
Sherpa. He basically, we showed up and he didn't say who he was. We show up and he just basically gave us a bunch of shit and walked off.
That doesn't sound like Brian at all.
And then later, after more people are giving us shit, he comes back over and is like, "Oh, hey, I'm Brian." And it was pretty funny. That was my entry into non Coachella style, desert.
Oh yeah, the desert underground. Was it a Moon Tribe by chance?
No, it was a shit show.
It was shit show.
Straight up. Excellent. Yeah, it was like a few years back.
Yeah.
3-4 years maybe.
Okay, so
it was before I went to Burning Man, and this year was my fourth trip to Burning Man, so it was. Far back.
That might have been one of the first.
Yeah, I think it was the first one. It's
probably the first one.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah.
We just had the big stage in the fire bar at that one.
There was the circle fire bar thing,
mm-hmm.
and there was a stage, and there was my Airstream trailer, and that was.
It was probably the nicest thing out there.
It might have been. And I never forget the story, that's where the sound never went off. And so it's a 1952 Airstream, so it's like. It's solid, but it's 1952.
Rattled.
Oh, yeah. Dude, it rattled. Like, the toilet seat was rattled. My buddy Michael, it's two beds, and he's sleeping in the back. I'm in the front. And, every maybe half hour or so, we would just wake up to laughter. It would be one of the two of us laughing at the shit shaking in there. And finally, we just gave up and got up and started drinking tequila. And we're like, joined the party again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We're like, this is stupid. And we get up, and there's, more people at that point awake partying than there were, for the prior 12 hours we were there.
Sounds about right. At that point, everybody's had their acclimating time and they're ready to go, especially if it's a toilet seat rattling DJ set, You want to get up and dance to that shit.
You do. And we did. That was a good time.
That's so true.
Yeah, that was my introduction to Foxtails, all of it. Awesome. All the things.
Oh, yeah.
Like that.
Oh, All the little cactus buddies.
Oh, yeah.
Blood. Yeah.
All that stuff. Guns.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Guns.
Yeah. Yeah, we won't be able to do that for too long.
No, right.
Yeah.
But it was, that was my messenger experiences in the early days. And it's crazy that it's more than 4 years ago. God, time flies.
Yeah, it does.
Hmm. So back to Mexico. What else have you guys done in Mexico?
Did you guys play recently? Rashad has played.
Yeah, we play down at Mustache. We used to play at Club Volga.
What city is Mustache in?
Tijuana. They're both in Tijuana. Mustache just expanded. It used to be like one small bar, and now it's got like almost like an inner city block now.
Okay.
In
Tijuana.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the last time that we played down there, I played as Ducksplosion down there. Rashad just recently played down. I think he played at Deck.
Deck 22 with Joe P.
Yeah, I played at Deck 22, but yeah, the Mustache is a really, really strange joint. They had a live noisecore band in the inner sanctum while we
played.
What
is noisecore?
Oh, just like the art of playing feedback and the guttural scream that you can get. Yeah, and
like a
and
band.
Small, yeah, small flash is like, yeah.
Okay.
Pretty interesting. So, yeah, we were doing our weird 90s mashup thing that we do with Ducksplosion next to a noisecore band, and the Fog Machine jammed up.
Is that a 90s mashup thing, like Girl Talk mashup type thing, or
different? Oh, I wish we were better like that. But,
okay,
we try to pick like the worst music that we can. We try to pick the worst music that we can and mash it up with something that's tolerable or slightly palatable.
Yeah,
and then when we play. We usually there's a certain amount of shock factor because a lot of it's kind of abrasive or ridiculous, but you know, we'll start with NWA and then switch it to Vanessa Carlton.
Perfect.
In the same mix. And just once again, it goes with the same. You guys might be taking this too seriously.
Yeah,
a lot of times that
one of my favorites of yours is Head Over Heels for Miss Jackson's Diamonds. I fucking love that one. Because it's Tears for Fears, Outkast, and Fantagram, and it's fucking perfect. I'm not here to suck your dick, but
that's why we have this, so we can keep it clean. Notice, folks. Notice the profile. It was dark in here.
Like, which one's that? What album is that?
Dick Liquid. It might be on Dick Liquid.
Dick Liquid.
Yeah, all the albums are up on ducksplosion.bandcamp.com.
I'm just
the album covers are awful.
I would like to share a Twitter fact.
Okay,
I'm ready.
All right, Wes's Twitter
and this
facts.
Actually makes me feel pretty good with the embarrassing, participation in my Twitter account. Vanessa Carlton, 51,000 plus followers. Last post, 5 likes.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Come on, man. She played that piano riff that everybody knows.
The one after that, 35. Maybe I got the wrong Vanessa Carlton, but whoever this one is still has 51,000 followers.
Do I get more than that?
I'm giving everyone like Twitter like FOMO now.
Hold
like,
on.
I never really paid attention.
I might be able to catch Vanessa Carlton.
I'm pretty sure that's her. I'm pretty sure it's the right one. Nashville, Tennessee. And... when you follow her, one of the two suggested follows is Neo and Jason Derulo.
Wrong camera.
Oh, damn it.
This
you just
one.
Look weird. No. that's the album cover.
Oh, I love it.
Head Over Heels. I mean, it's called Dick Liquid. That's Ducksplosion.
The album covers are awful.
Just so you know, that sexy monster is at the end of the chess table.
Intentionally.
That's awesome.
Sexy and awful.
I like it, man. Now I know why you brought it. It's like bringing 4 people.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
I mean, he's like a cornerstone type thing, man.
I like it. Next time I see you on a flyer, I'm gonna have to try to get out my once a month that I go out.
I'll have to try to figure out
party in San Diego.
Which one I'm doing. Am I going to have to put
sure.
like DJ set at the
nothing
end?
Nothing at all. I don't even say something. Please give the old man some clue as to what I'm going to do.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And
the running man with ankle weights.
Yeah.
I think I totally forgot what I was just about to say. It happens.
It does.
Yeah, it happens.
Those are
let's give Connect Four a shot.
Okay.
We can do it while we're talking. Drum roll.
Let's go. Let's make it go this way.
Yeah.
So we could, you know, so that.
Well, that gives you guys your chips.
Oh, yeah.
On even sides.
Yeah, look at that. So. Go ahead.
Okay.
Guests first.
All right. Let's start off with these guys right here. Damn.
Witness the bold moves, folks.
What is he doing?
You guys, while we're doing this completely intensive brain game,
absolutely.
You guys listen to any podcasts? If you do, what are your favorites?
We know you don't listen.
I don't feel so bad that you never listen to this one since you don't listen to any others.
I mean, like when I was listening to a lot of NPR, I'm super nerdy when it comes to like etymology and just like words and origins of them, which is etymology, the origin of certain words and phrases.
Yeah.
A radio show on NPR is called You Have a Way with Words.
Oh, I like that one.
And it's great. I really like that. A lot of the stuff on NPR, I'm a pretty big fan of. And this is the most written game of Connect Four I've ever played.
It's amazing. And just watch, folks. Folks, just the suspense.
Oh.
If I didn't notice this, the game would have been over.
Denied.
Your average EDM persona might have gotten greedy and gone for three, thinking he would miss that. But we steered clear of disaster.
Let's go.
Duckman, official judge.
Just making sure that everything's legal here.
Official judge.
That's one I really like. Car Talk is pretty good, too.
That was funny. That's been around forever.
Yeah. You ever watch...
They're one of the shows that made it from pre-podcast and then really successfully into the podcast world. Because not all of them have been so lucky.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. They had a really big audience.
Massive. But there's others like a Bill O'Reilly.
What a terrific audience.
Who doesn't... No, you know what I'm saying? Like Bill O'Reilly's got his podcast, of course, but... It's still his big listenership is the Nash, whatever the NBC or whatever it is he's on, major network TV. Interesting.
Bill O'Reilly.
What else are you? What else? What about yourself?
I was gonna say, have you ever? I don't know if it's necessarily a podcast. I guess it might be, but have you ever been on Adult Swim's live channel and watched their Swap Shop?
No.
It's totally. I can't even really describe it, but there's two guys, they're very calming, very strange guys with leather gloves, and they have the swap shop, and they just, they have people send things, and they gift them to other people, and they make agreements, but it's like a podcast with a live chat on the side.
Okay.
And,
so you're watching people do, like, swap shop type stuff.
Yeah, and for some reason, I keep coming back every day to do this every day, and...
That's amazing. The shit that grabs our attention is amazing. It's
calming for some reason. It's Adult Swim, so there's weirdos there, and there's all these weird in jokes that don't make any sense. But
do you guys think that we've always, like, humans have always sort of craved this sort of new style of stuff, or that it's because it's come about, you know, the emergence of it has made us like it? Which one do you think, right? With this kind of, like, some people, like, we would have thought it was monotonous, like, when we only had three TV channels, right? Like, you know, you're just used to, like, I don't know what, 45 minutes with 15 minutes of ads throughout the hour, and you turn it off and go to bed.
Right.
Right, or whatever, right? You couldn't even binge watch, dude. Think about it. So we've got, what, binge watching, which was never before possible.
Mm-hmm. Everything's instant.
It's very satisfying. Binge watching is very satisfying.
It's all instant satisfaction. That's what it is nowadays. It's instant satisfaction. What can I have right now this instant, immediately? I want to watch the whole season today till 4 in the fucking morning. I'll go to work without sleep. It doesn't matter. This is more important than that. And it's great. I appreciate that.
A lineup.
The drop shoot, the holder thing was slightly askew there. Now we can see clearly.
Oh, shit.
Folks, if you had thought that your vision was off, it was not. We're working on how to manage this game.
This is incredible.
Let's see. Is it, in fact, my turn? Or I just put one there. I think it's my turn.
I see where
you went.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, this is...
I think this might be a cat scan. No, we have enough chips.
This is getting real.
This is huge.
Pardon, listeners, pardon the silence. You know, Duckman Agent 137, you weren't welcome to talk.
Yeah.
while we get really serious about this.
Yeah.
For some reason, neither one of us wants to lose this on, you know, global TV, as it
means.
Right. Oh, that's the triple stack. It's getting deep now.
For the long game.
Yeah. Yeah, I just don't know, man. This is riveting.
Mm-hmm.
The game and the media.
Yes.
While he's making his next move, I thought I'd show off. It's a little bit of show and tell. I'm so excited that I have what I have in my hand, that I bought four of them.
Have you ever
had a favorite pair of shoes and, like, you realize they were no longer going to be available, so you bought two pair?
Mm-hmm.
Ever done that?
Yeah.
So that's how I feel about bicycle trailer ball hitches. I bought one of these about 3 years ago. Somebody stole, so that part hooks to your, you know, seat post lamp, and then now you have like a little trailer hitch for your bike. And on the other end, you have this, and you can bolt it to whatever you want. I made my own surfboard trailer out of an aluminum ladder, you know, kind of like that one, more like a flat, have you ever seen a painter's ladder, two short legs and a deck? So I took the deck and cut the legs off and put an axle on it and some garden cart wheels and made a surfboard carrier.
Yes.
But I needed something to pull it without it bumping around like a rope tied to your fucking witch kids does not work. Using a rope or chain to tie your trailer to your bicycle, terrible idea.
Yeah.
So
something with a little bit more contact.
Saving you a little bit of time there. So I was looking, thinking someone in the world has to have had this problem. Right. And there's a million things out there that have like kids trolleys and kids trailers and stuff, but they don't really do it like this where you can unhitch, you know? So that's like what you end up with, folks. If you see that, it's like, the, you know, and it perfectly swivels nice. It works great. That screws in so this doesn't come off, and it works great. So I bought four of them because after the first one I bought, some fool in Pacific Beach, of course, decides, A, they're going to take my seat. Which that would have been okay, but they took the hitch, the other half of the hitch, right? So everything's locked up, the cart, the bike, all of it. They take the seat and this side of the hitch. Now the bike is sitting there with no seat, trailer's sitting there with no other half to hitch to.
Wow.
So not only am I humiliated without a seat, I got to walk both the trailer and the bike back home.
Wow.
And it's clear that something got stolen.
Yeah.
And that's just like embarrassing.
That's whack.
And, like, at least three people on your way on that walk are going to tell you, yeah, BB, can't have a bicycle here. It's like, thanks, boss.
Thanks. Yeah, thanks. Super helpful. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thanks, dude.
Thanks for the ring.
So, like, every time I shop on Amazon, I look for this damn thing. And then if I don't find it there, I'll Google and see if I can find it. It's pretty distinctive looking. Anyway, I was on there, like, doing some Black Friday type shit. And I was like, it won't be there. I typed it in, and it popped up. And I was like,
Nice.
So kudos to Amazon keeping every order you've ever ordered in your entire life in your order history.
Right.
So you can remember like what it was.
Yeah.
And then it tells you if it's back in stock.
That's it's brilliant. That's why Amazon's like super fucking, they just bought fucking Whole Foods.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Dude.
Do you have any idea how much they bought them for?
Fucking $14 billion. And then right after they bought it, their stock went up, so they made an immediate, I think, $1 to $2 billion on the purchase, just off of that purchase.
Folks, he did not distract me. He tried.
No, I did though.
He's like, just
that's four.
Ah! Either way, he would have got me. Damn it!
Oh, bam! Victorious
champion.
Woo-hoo!
Thanks, dude.
It's my pleasure, man. Thank you.
Good job.
Bam! Well, since you brought Duckman, you got to play Duckman now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll wrap it up after your Duckman game.
Oh, this could be terrible.
Yes, Kelly, go for it. What's up?
I was wondering if you had any shows coming up.
Hi, Duckman. Any shows coming up you'd like to share?
We just had one, but I don't have anything lined up as of yet. But that doesn't mean that we won't have a night coming up or something. We have some projects in the works that we're like really starting to actually put some time into. One of them is sort of like a revival of sorts that I don't really want to get into too much details, just because it's all very just talk at this point. And I don't want to start promoting something that we're probably working on until it's really solved.
Yeah. You don't want 1,000 people hitting you up to play.
Right. No, I do want that. I want that, but I don't want to put the fucking cart before the horse. And I do that a lot in life. I jump the gun, I speak before I think, and I turn fucking 31 years old next week.
Oh.
Time to put the big boy pants on. You know? Time to put the big boy pants on and do some real, you know, real man shit.
Yeah.
You know? So
that's awesome. Be careful with that.
Yeah.
Be careful.
Yeah.
It'll suck the life out of you.
Oh yeah, I know. I mean, you know, it's high time I do something that might be a little risky, you know, because it's what else am I gonna do? The same shit?
Get older.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Take risks. I feel like life, you know, no risk, no reward. It's very true.
Oh.
And I think the only thing I have currently is February 22nd, playing at Cava for my friend Chris's going away party. We're doing a future party the old crew that used to do Future Wednesdays when we had a weekly, which is insane to do. Everyone told us not to do a weekly.
That is insane.
And we're like, no, we got it. What do you mean? We know what we're doing.
I think a monthly is insane.
Oh, yeah. So we're all going to get back together and send Chris off. So that's next gig.
Awesome.
That's all I got.
Nice.
Cool. Is Joey going to do that too?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be fun.
It's going to be fun.
That's February?
February.
Joey Animals. Mm-hmm. Man, I saw him during the summer. He cut his hair. I hadn't seen him in a while.
He looks all respectable.
He does, dude.
Yeah.
I'd buy insurance from him or something.
Also dadding.
Yes. That's right.
So.
Which is immediately understandable why I have not seen him much, considering I'm not out all that much. But cool.
Yeah. What about you, Wes?
San Francisco.
Oh yeah.
End of March, not like real soon.
Yeah,
end of March.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I'm not rushing into anything here in 2018.
Yeah.
It's been 2017 was a lot of stuff, a lot of shows, good stuff, and on top of doing a couple of local parties. You know how that goes. The work can be, you know, whether a party's big or small, it doesn't seem to matter. It's still like the same amount of effort,
right,
to put it on.
Mm-hmm. When it's small, you seem to care more, and when it's big, you have such a bit part that you can only do your part of it, and then you don't really know if everything's done, and then you get there and you're excited whenever everybody's done the thing.
Yeah, I mean, those shows, the ones we did they ranged from 50 to 100 people. That's, I call that small.
Yeah.
We might have had a little less than that at the last one. It was a little cooler, but we did it at Campland. We had to do it there because the Pueblo, since the time zone change or time daylight savings changed, they couldn't have us run, you know, like late enough. Wow. So we didn't do it there again. We'll probably do it more in the summer now that we know what their logistics are. So we did it at Campland, and I was actually blown away that they agreed to let us do it there in the first place. And they did. And, that was interesting. That was our lowest turnout of the year, but it's a beautiful day and very interesting, rocking out house and techno and breaks among the campers. Yeah.
They were like giving you the side eye, like.
Yeah, most people that have ever gone to Campland do not associate it with electronic dance music. Like.
Oh, you are good.
And. 4-person bike rentals. That's what Campland is far more famous for.
Awesome.
Who knew the Pine is good at Connect Four?
Yeah,
like,
this
is the thing, because he's like got tricks.
I kind of knew it was a sleeper because I said chess in the Facebook message thread, and he just throws out there or Connect Four, and then he shows up and he's like, I said, you can have it. Right. And I went and pulled it out of storage, and he shows up and sees it. He's like, I was just kidding. I don't even know the game.
I've never played this
game. Yeah, right.
What do you mean? New high score? Did I break it?
Well, considering it's the first few times the sport's ever been used, yes.
I just sense many people.
Do not fall
trickery.
For what I fell for.
I'm trying not
You've
to.
You've evaded it so far. That right there, he's trying to trick you.
I know.
Don't do it.
I'm not touching it. Don't call him, man.
I'm warning you. Don't do it.
Oh, hang on. What's going on here? Am I making a mistake? No.
It's so hard.
I wish I would have learned that lesson.
On one hand, it's a game. On the other hand, it looks like a waffle you want to eat.
Let's go for a waffle. Dude, waffles are the best.
What's your favorite food, dude? Seems like a great question to ask in the middle of Connect Four.
Let's see. I mean, I've been known to pizza, you know, here and there.
Mostly the pie.
Yeah, pie slice, you know, kind of has
pizza.
Pizza pie.
Huh. Pizza pie.
Yeah, right. That's actually Duckman's fault.
Nice.
so that was the thing. I still obviously will always eat pizza. But then, you know, right now and for the past like year or two, I've been on this sort of ramen kick. Just trying to go to all the different ramen.
You're talking about ramen restaurant. Ramen.
Yeah. So all the different ramen restaurants in San Diego.
That doesn't come up often on here. What's your favorite ramen place?
I love it. Menya Ultra. It's highly regarded as the best ramen in the world.
Okay.
They won the Tokyo Ramen Show 3 years in a row. This restaurant they have in Claremont is the only location they have outside of Japan and Taiwan.
I was going to guess Claremont.
Yeah, and then they're opening up a new one in Mira Mesa because they're busy all the time.
Yeah. What was it? Is that little, there's like an Asia town over there in Claremont.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's
a mix of styles. What's the name of it again?
It's called Menya, M-E-N-Y-A. Yeah. And it's great because
Menya Ultra.
Yeah, they're right next door to a cigar bar. So if you go there and the line's insane, which is pretty much the entire time they're open.
Yeah.
You can
by name.
Yeah. Well, no. They have way too many people to know you by name at that restaurant, and I wouldn't hold it against them if they forgot.
I mean, how much ramen is too much ramen? Like, how many times in a week can you have ramen where it's just too much?
You know, I mean, it really depends on the week. You know,
they have more than three.
Yeah, I love it.
The soup max.
I eat pho like a machine, dude, like at least once a week.
Do you like ramen, Wes?
I like ramen as well. It's just harder to find it.
He just did it. Did you see it?
I distract him with food, and you got distracted.
Check them.
I just don't know how he does it. I can see it coming. And I was just like, he's going to force me to do this.
Menya Ultra.
Check them.
How does he... Seriously, like he went to four school school or no, connect four
no,
school.
No, it's first move advantage, just like tic tac toe. Same fuck.
Yeah, that's gross.
They don't tell you that. They don't tell you that when you're five. Menya Ultra, I got it.
Yeah, yeah. And so, like, the game is: you go there, you put your name down on the fucking list. You go next door to the cigar bar, have a drink, wait for your name to be called. So if you just or you can tailgate. Some people tailgate. Like we saw people drinking beers out of the back of their car waiting for this ramen. That's how good it is.
Nice.
And if it's your poison, there is also a Cheetah's in that same parking lot.
I know this area.
Okay. So you could get some nudes and some nudes.
Goals.
Nudes on
the lawn. Satisfy all your noodle cravings.
Yeah, all the N-O-O-D-S. N-U-D-E-S.
Yeah.
Pick your poison.
It's wordplay pile. I love it.
I'll see myself out.
as we bring this to a close-ish, I don't even know if you've paid attention to what is behind you, Pia, but I'm going to take a picture of it.
Oh, no. I saw this earlier on the internet. And this is I'm on
break. Hold up your happy board there, man.
There you go. Camera.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. He's a prime winner. Yes.
Two for two.
What else was I gonna say? Usually we say some of these announcements at the beginning. It's not, I don't know, they're really announcements, but music releases coming out on Juice. We've got let me recap a little bit of last year first. I forgot to do this with DJ Ideal. So if you've waited to the bitter end and you're a music fan, of which we've had nothing much really on here today, thank you everybody again for, last year we had 27, it might have been 28 releases.
Yeah.
I mentioned some of the artists in the last show, B Freak from Germany, Beat Breaker from UK, Ground Score from Vancouver, myself, of course.
Excellent name, Ground Score.
Fix from West, from the East Coast. I think I got the ones that repeat repeat performers there. Didn't have anything from F Word, I don't think. Maybe we did. No, we did F Word as well. Other good name, right?
Yeah.
Try to find that on social media. go Google F Word on the socials and see what you get on that one.
Yeah, folks. Yeah, a bunch of.
Same with Ground Score.
A bunch of angry Christian moms.
Yeah, I thought I'd give a little shout out to them. And then I had my midsummer album, Magic Carpet Ride. Go check out those fun things. We had, I don't know. Like I enjoy the charts. I don't pay as much attention to them as I used to I used to bug out, dude, when we would get something in the charts.
Oh yeah.
I used to get excited, man.
Get up in the morning, check the charts.
I'm getting pretty excited. Like, I just don't check it as much.
It's vindication, man. Like,
yeah.
You're like, shit, I did it.
Even if everybody's like, Beatport charts don't mean shit. Yeah, but when there's something up in there, you're like, there's something kind of gratifying, satisfying, whatever.
They're usually people that aren't on Beatport charts, though.
Some of those releases had multiple songs. We had, I think it was 30, 32, 33 things up in the charts somewhere. Some in the top 10, but a lot floating around. So appreciate that. I'm not bragging on stats here. I'm thanking people and fans for making this happen. That's the point of this ramble, is gratitude, my friends, gratitude.
Is that a cheeseburger crab?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Thanks to Brant Sumo Fish. Go check out. He does all the art that you see in here that is not logo art, but particularly this big thing behind me.
Mm-hmm.
You can't really see it on the show, everybody, but they can see it sitting in here.
It's cool.
That's all Brant is his name, but Sumo Fish is his handle out of the Bay Area. This shirt is a good example. So if you like this kind of funky stuff, awesome. That's him. And that's, you can see his logo there on my back. Go check him out. He sells stuff online. That's how he makes his living as an artist. So, support that dude if you'd like to support, independent artists from the art side. Thanks to Jeanette Despot for doing some art. Mm-hmm. She did those, the sneakers. You can see those at the distance.
Yeah.
She did those custom for me. I commissioned that. It was awesome. Who else San Diego peoples that?
Well, you had some more releases with LEF and Dub Axe Face.
Dub Axe Face, yes. That's him out of Spain.
BBK, Omega Squad, because you did the Cali concert.
Omega Squad, yeah. LEF, Low End Frequency. Damn, dude, it's so like, yeah. Thank you. That's why I brought it up, because I know I didn't, unless I make a list of it or go look at Beatport or whatever, I don't do the best job of paying attention to it all. And to Colin, you guys he handled all the releases from last year, like the packaging distribution aspect, which running label, you got to do that, right? The distributors, the payments, the artists, all that. Colin did that for every release last year.
Wow.
So that's hustling, dude. Yeah. So when I say 30 some odd releases, like I make music, and I used to do the actual artwork for all the covers, but I didn't do that except for ones where I got involved, like Janelle and stuff like that. He handled it all. With Nick, Nick, artist here, he DJs as well, Zettelmeyer. So he does the art, the layouts and stuff for a lot of our covers. So combined with some of his pieces from art that he does, and then he'll take that and change it around. Like the donkey in the window, photos like that I take, make it into our artwork.
It's not.
Yeah, it's on the way.
Is that? Okay, I was like.
Yeah, it almost looks fake, doesn't it? Like someone else. It looks like I took that out of National Geographic.
I was gonna say, if that was the one up at the gate, that's the guy who ate our guest list.
What is happening? He's eating an apple right there. You can barely see it. In the bottom is dark.
That was the worst radio call I ever had to make.
Oh, yeah. Donkey ate the list.
Donkey ate the guest list.
I mean, but that's creative. That's a good one. wrapping up that shout out, though, thank you, everybody, for all that, especially all of you that still buy music out there. You don't have to buy music. We all know that. But those of you that do, bless your hearts.
Awesome.
I buy all mine that I use and play. So I really appreciate that. As cool or uncool as that may seem,
right,
to throw a couple bucks.
It's cool.
Right? It is cool.
Well, there's folks, there's people that have grown up not doing it and don't really know or think about it in the context of shifting from a time where you had to buy it versus not. So there's whole generations now that have grown up when you didn't have to buy anything like that. So I can understand that they don't, it's not, it doesn't register as much. So I'm shout out to the people who do know or have come from both times and that stuff. And, you know, we had music in five different genres, which was cool.
That's awesome.
All charted in five different genres, which was psyched about, which was breaks, of course, drum and bass. We actually even had one. Glitch hop. Those glitch hop and breaks are usually the two that we chart the most in. We did have some that charted in house and electronica.
Nice.
All right. Yeah. So that was kind of fun. Yeah, that was fun. It was cool. That was a goal to spread out a little bit from the breaks chart.
And make the video game achievement bar where you just put a sticker for each of the genres.
Well, the funny thing about that is it got me like a little bit more excited about charting. And I realized what it was is if you've done a lot in one thing, you know, you kind of get to where it's like, all right, like there was a time in 2016 where I had like a good friend of mine, like hit me up and was joking, was like, hey, thanks for making a little room in the chart for us. And I was just like, you know, like I knew she was kidding with me, but yeah. but it was still kind of funny because she was just commenting on how many times we had had not just my stuff, but like just, you know, we would have like 15 of the top 100 would be from the label. That's a lot, I think. 20% of the chart would be us. And
that's what's up. That's
huge. And it was awesome. And it was a lot of work. It was very focused on that. And then we were kind of like, not so much like to make room. We just met more people, broadened out, had different experiences, and were able to get some different music. So that was more like, but anyway, point was, is it kind of that when you've never been on a house chart,
yeah,
and you get slot 99,
yeah,
everyone's like popping bottles, we're popping bottles, dude. Yeah, like,
yeah, we did it.
Yeah,
that's fucking, that's an accomplishment.
So it was fun to kind of, you know, have that, you know, little feeling again, you know, okay, from that. Yeah. But thanks nonetheless for all the other stuff. What, did I leave anything out, Kelly? Any awesomeness that you know or remember that I left out?
You left out Cali Cuts too.
I did. That came out towards the end of the year. Yeah. People thought that was a remix of the Punks, of the Cali Cuts release on Punks, but it was not. Yep. It was all original. But people hit me up for like great remix EP. I was like, it's not remixes. But it did sound a lot like it. Well, it was supposed to be the follow up to that, and then I don't know, things transpired and it didn't end up getting accepted for Punks, and then I just held on to it for like a year and a half. I didn't really know what to do with it because at the time we had kind of a real I would say a real specific type of sound going on.
Yeah.
And it just didn't really make a lot of sense. So I was kind of like, now what am I going to do with this?
That was your falling through the cracks project.
Yeah, so I held on to it for 2 years and then I was like, oh, well, now we're diverse enough. We'll just put it out. Yeah.
Nice.
So that's what happened with that. Anything else, Kelly?
That's all I can remember.
Coming up?
I do. I'm playing February 23rd at Brooklyn Bazaar for Sound So Sweet and Rage On. It is a Soul Slingers playing, DJ Scott Brown, so a lot of hard style. We have one room with hard style, and our room is a concrete jungle room, so playing drum and bass. And this year, I plan to be putting out tunes, so stay tuned.
Sick.
The production skill set is hitting the road.
It is hitting the road. I'm putting it out there.
Love it.
Yeah, so that's going on.
All right, well, since you won't know this tip until you get to the end of this video, I highly recommend that anybody listening to this starts at the end and goes towards the beginning.
Disclaimer.
You'll laugh when you get to the end and hear that. Play it backwards, folks.
Yeah.
Get all the demons.
Yeah.
Stay classy, yo.
Stay classy, yo. Bye, guys.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time.
Peace. Bye.